Life Audio.
You're listening to Therapy and Theology, and I'm your host, Carly Mercklear. This podcast is a space where we explore popular topics and questions related to the convergence of faith, feelings, spiritual formation, and more. My prayer is that through these conversations, we will grow in our awareness of who we are as beloved children of God, learn to acknowledge our needs and emotions with curiosity and compassion, and rediscover the purpose and power of our unique stories through the lens of the gospel. As a licensed therapist and ministry leader, I want to give voice to the many questions we face while cultivating a clearer view of how our faith informs our healing journey. I don't have all the answers, but I am committed to going deeper and walking together. So whether you've been to therapy or know exactly what you believe when it comes to theology, I want to invite you to join this journey as we fearlessly name the complexities of our present reality and press into the hope of the gospel story. So are you ready? Let's jump into today's question and begin this journey together.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Therapy and Theology. I'm so excited to be back with another episode of the Deconstructing Distortion series. Today, we're going to be talking about deconstructing the narratives that surround disabilities and terminal illness. And I am blessed and honored to have my friend Beth Box here with me today. Beth is a disabled activist, scholar, and vlogger. She is also the president of Rehumanize International and holds a double major in public health and developmental psychology. Beth has a love for academia and currently works as a college tutor for various subjects. In her free time, Beth enjoys reading good books, crocheting, and is a proud dog mom of her baby girl, Casey Kay. So welcome to the show, Beth. I am so grateful to have you here for this conversation today. And I would love to start by having you share just a little bit about your journey with disabilities and terminal illness and having to challenge the distortions and messages that have come from growing up with physical limitations.
So my journey with disability really started even before I was born, because I started having issues in utero. My growth and development stopped. They found that out during the anatomy scan, and the doctors weren't really sure what was wrong, but they told my mom that they didn't think that I would survive to term, that if I did, I would have such severe disabilities, I would have a life worth living. Mm-hmm. And they told her that her most merciful option would be to terminate the pregnancy and try again. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, she didn't think that that was her choice to make. So she found a different provider and made it clear that termination was not a choice she was willing to make. They actually found out that I had a super narrow umbilical cord and put her on baby aspirin, and that helped me start gaining weight and get in utero. But then even after I was born, I continued to have issues with growth and development, and I was born illegally blind and with low muscle tone, which just meant that all of my muscles were really weak. So it made it hard for me to learned to do pretty much everything. I was late meeting pretty much all of my developmental milestones, like walking and crawling and sitting. Also just continued to have periods of stunted height and weight growth. I was like the same likes at 6 months and 18 months. I did finally eventually learn to walk, but I was never very stable. I was always a very clumsy child, falling down, getting injured a lot. I got my first pair of glasses when I was 6 months old, and I hated them. I would scream and throw them and hide them where they'd get sat on or stepped on. I had a really severe lazy eye. My left eye would turn all the way so that you couldn't see the pupil anymore. And we tried to correct that first with the glasses and then with a corrective surgery. And it worked somewhat. I mean, to the point that I didn't look like a baby bad eye Moody anymore. But it didn't bring them into perfect alignment. But even if they had, I probably wouldn't have learned to use both eyes together because my vision in each eye is so drastically different. As I got older, my vision continued to deteriorate, and so did my mobility. So today, my right eye can basically only see light color and movement, and the acuities in my left eye are 22,000, which basically means that something that's 20 feet away, I see it with the clarity of if it's 2,000 feet away. I can't walk more than a few feet without assistance. I experience a lot of chronic pain from severe muscle spasms and nerve pain, and I rely on a ventilator and a lot of medication to regulate my different body systems. But I'm still here, which I'm very grateful for, because when I was 15, I was told that it would be a miracle if I saw my 30th birthday, and I will be 31 in August, so I guess I'm officially a medical miracle.
I see that like that.
Tell me about what it's been like in specifically growing up in a Christian environment. What were the messages, or I would say even distortions, that have impacted you?
It was really hard because there was nobody else with any sort of disability in my life. And the only time I ever really heard disability mentioned in the church was when it was being talked about as being wiped away with somebody's sin as a sign of God's love and forgiveness.
Yeah.
I think one of the big distortions is that the physical disability is a direct result of or physical manifestation of an individual's sin, a punishment for or physical manifestation of someone's sin. As an adult, I have heard people say that directly. As a child, I think I just kind of inferred that because it was always taken away as the sin was taken away. And so it was kind of like, if you don't have sin, you don't have disability. When your sin goes away, your disability goes away. So therefore, they must go together, was the child interpretation, because that was the way it was always presented.
Did that create a belief that you were somehow bad?
Oh, absolutely. I dealt with a ton of shame in my childhood. It built this complex in me that I was bad and that my disability was bad. And that, like, since I couldn't get rid of my disability, that I at least needed to hide my disability because it was bad and it was shameful and it needed to be hidden because it was a sign of something in me that was bad and wrong. Another big distortion is, and it kind of goes along with that, is that if you pray hard enough and have enough faith that you'll receive that physical healing. And this is another one that in my teenage and adult years was actually said directly to me, that I was not being healed because I didn't have enough faith for Jesus to ask Jesus to heal me, or that I wasn't praying hard enough or often enough, or that somehow this disability, that these physical afflictions or my fault because I wasn't trusting God enough. And that just added so much to my shame because I felt like trusting God was like all I was doing in those years, because like, especially in my teenage years, in my early 20s, that's when my different conditions were really progressing the most rapidly. And like during those times, like God was the only thing I could cling to because nothing in my life was stable.
Right.
And so, like, I was just clinging to God with all that I had. that wasn't very much. And so when people were telling me that, like, my physical body was deteriorating because I wasn't trusting God enough, it was like, I don't know how to trust him any more than I am. So if this isn't enough, then I don't know what is.
Man, I can't imagine. Did that impact your view of God in some way growing up because of these messages that is as well-meaning or as twisted in the scripture as they might be? Like, of course, we're supposed to pray. We'll get to that later, I know. And it's like we've taken some truths and then we've twisted them to mean something else. And I'd love to hear you talk a little bit about, maybe for some people that are listening too, about what that did for your image of God.
The three like truths of God that I really struggled with, especially during my teenage years, were, is God truly perfect? Is God truly loving? And is God truly merciful? Because I felt so broken, and not even just like sin. I mean, we're all sinful. We all have a broken, sinful nature, but like we're all supposed to be made in God's image. Like that's what we were being told over and over again. And I did not feel like I was made in God's image. And so I struggled to believe that God was perfect because I thought God had messed up what he made me. Like I felt like my body was so physically broken that it was hard to believe that God was, that a perfect God could make something as broken and faulty as me. And then I struggled to believe that he could truly be loving and merciful and allow me to endure this suffering and listen to me calling out and praying for healing.
Oh, that's got to be so confusing.
Yeah.
And of course, it makes us feel like God isn't listening.
Yeah.
I know.
And so like, I never doubted that he was there hearing all of these prayers. And so I struggled to believe that he was really as loving and merciful as I had been taught that he was, because if he was there just watching me, his child crying and pleading, like, how could his heart not break for that? And how could he just sit up there and watch this and do absolutely nothing?
Man, that kind of leads us to this other distortion that you've told me about, that everybody who is disabled wants physical healing in his lifetime. Can you talk a little bit about that?
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Yeah. So this one isn't church specific. This
sure.
This is really
the culture.
Yeah. Culture. Yeah. Able-bodied people assume that if you are disabled, like, you hate yourself and you want to be able-bodied. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the case. Like, a lot of us are content with the bodies that we have now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For years, I hated my disabled body. Mm-hmm. And I prayed fervently every day for healing. And I would still absolutely welcome miraculous physical healing and give God the glory for that. Mm-hmm. But also, I am content now with the body that I have. And I don't pray every day for physical healing. I pray that he will sustain me and keep me alive. And living that with a terminal illness, that in itself daily is a miracle. It's just the concept of like what our earthly bodies should look like and how we should function in this lifetime. And it's like God has created each of us as we should be. And maybe that just looks different for some of us.
Yeah. Well, and I think of too, like we can understand disability in light of brokenness. I think that's what you've already said, right? And yet what I think is beautiful about, you know, your own process that you're sharing is that you've come to a place of acceptance and that God is working in and through your story.
Well, and I see how God is using this broken body to bring glory to him, to glorify himself. And like, that is such a huge honor. And it's like, as much this broken body sucks sometimes, like I also wouldn't trade that opportunity. I wouldn't wish it on anybody else, but I also wouldn't treat it.
Yeah.
I also walk through things that are so much harder than my disability. And there are just so many times as a disabled person that people have just come up and been like, can I pray for you? And it's like, yes, absolutely. Like we all need prayer.
Sure.
But then they automatically assume that what I need prayer for is immediate physical healing. Yeah. And like, that's often not my need. Yeah. And like in particular, almost 8 years ago now, I lost my mom. Mm-hmm. And when she was sick in the hospital, like literally fighting for her life, like my health was relatively stable at that point. Like I was disabled.
Sure.
But my health was the most stable it had been in years. And I was at a Christian university walking around on campus and kids would come up to me and be like, can I pray for you? And I'd be like, yes, please. And before I could say, my mom is dying, they would lay their hands on me and pray that I would get my sight back. And like, I wanted to punch them in the face.
Oh, yeah.
Because like, that was the last thing on my mind. Yeah. Treat us like any other human. Like, if you want to ask to pray for us, give us the courtesy of asking how you can pray for us.
Yeah. I think of like the conversation we recently had, or maybe you were speaking about this recently when you were saying we have day-to-day needs and requests and as anybody, right? And yeah, I think those things tend to get overlooked when there's a physical disability because you can see something else.
Yeah.
And that, I get frustrated just hearing you say that that happened to you. I'm so sorry, because I feel like it negates everything else. You know, it's like they only see one thing, and that's so unfair. Or when we bring simple answers to complex situations, you know, it's like, just pray. You know, it's like, okay, prayer, yes. And
yes.
And well, there's a lot of other things that we can do. And so in this process, you know, we've now challenged some of these statements saying, well, these aren't truth. You know, for people listening, like if you are being told these things with a disability or with terminal illness, this is not the gospel. And so let's turn there. Let's turn to truth and say, what is true? Like, where do we go from here?
Yeah.
You know, what are some passages of scripture that can help us reestablish a new belief in this, a more biblical vision of this?
So the passage that God used to like flip my world upside down when I was a teenager was John chapter 9. And this was the passage that like I hated my entire life.
Love how God does that.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's because God knew that 16-year-old Beth was going to need these words. This was right after I had gotten my like terminal diagnosis, and I had learned that I had an intersex condition that meant I only had one X chromosome, which just totally like messed with my like sense of identity. And
of course,
I was just in a really, really dark place. This passage came up in our Sunday school class, and then it came up in the sermon in big church. And then that night, it was the passage for my devotions. I was so mad. I hated this passage. After throwing a little tantrum about it, I finally composed myself and I was like, all right, God, I get it. You're trying to get my attention. But like, if you have something to say, you better say it fast, because I don't have a lot of patience right now. And so I started reading John chapter 9 and I got to verse 3. So in John chapter 9, it says, as they walked by, They came upon a man who had been blind since birth, and the disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" And Jesus answered them, "I tell you the truth, it is neither this man nor his parents who sinned, so that the glory of God may be displayed through him." Mm. But that's verse 3. That's how far I got before I heard God speak to me for the first time. Mm. And this was after years of praying, begging, pleading for God for physical healing. The healing that I wanted, that I thought would look like 20/20 vision and strong, straight legs and a functional immune system. Instead, God speaks to me and says, "I want to use you for my glory. Beth, let me use you for my glory." This just, like, I mean, it shatters that first distortion. Like, it says so clearly in those verses, like, Jesus, God, directly says, "No, it's not. It's not because anyone sinned. It's because I want to use him." I also love this passage because Jesus doesn't stop there. If you like this passage, so many people only preach that physical healing and they stop there. That makes me so bad.
Yeah.
Because that's not where the story ends.
Amen.
So after this guy, he goes and he washes at the pool. And he comes, and the Pharisees find out that he can see, and they get all fired up like they usually do. And they start asking this guy, like, who healed you? And he was like, "Well, I don't know who he is. All I know is I was blind, and now I can see." And that makes them all mad. Mm. And they cast him out. And when they cast him out, Jesus is there. And Jesus comes up to him, and is basically like, "Do you believe in the Son of God?"
Hmm.
And he was like, "I don't know who's the Son of God." And he's like, "You're looking at him," which is great because they're like, "You could see him," right. Which I love because like you couldn't see him before, but now you can. Yeah. It's like Jesus is making dad jokes, and I love it. And the guy falls down and worships Jesus. And so I love it because when you see the whole passage, like Jesus doesn't just give him physical healing. He gives him spiritual healing. He shows him, he reveals himself to him. Maybe this man needed that physical healing to soften his heart before he was ready to receive Jesus. Maybe I'm going to do more to glorify God with my broken body than if I got a miraculous healing. Maybe this guy is going to do more to glorify God with his miraculous healing. Like, we all have our different purposes, but it's all to glorify God.
Amen. Amen.
And we can't compare our struggles and our things like that. Like, it's all for the same purpose. And so I love the end of that story when he gets his spiritual healing. And that's what I got at 16 years old. And that is the healing I needed. It's not the healing I prayed for, but it's the healing I needed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was pretty soon after this that, like, my youth minister figured out that I was blind. But he questioned me on, like, why I was hiding something as simple as being blind. And I explained to him the whole, like, screwed up philosophy of my life. Like, I thought it was, like, a sign that you're sinful and bad and shameful and basically, like, and doesn't care about you. Yeah. But then I also, like, explained this, like, recent revelation that, like, God has told me that, like, somehow he wants to use this for his glory. And my youth pastor was like, "Well, how do you expect him to do that if you make it your mission of life to hide it?" Mm. And I was just like,
so good.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And so he challenged me to start, A, telling people that I was blind, and B, like, just sharing my story.
Oh, wow.
Being disabled, and that I thought God wanted to use it for his glory, and, like, give me God the opportunity to use it for his glory. And that's what I really realized as I was preparing for that and sharing over that summer. That's when I really realized that I had gotten that spiritual healing.
Wow, that's so good. So in addition to this revelation of John 9, are there any other passages that stick out to you?
Yeah.
That have helped you reconstruct?
My, like, biblical role model for disability is the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
Because I know this is, like, kind of up for debate, but I think it's very likely that he had some sort of disability, some sort of physical affliction, whatever his, like, thorn in the flesh was.
Yeah.
But whether he was actually physically disabled or whatever it was, like,
sure,
there was something that was bothering him, his thorn in the flesh. And in 2 Corinthians 12, we see that he begs, he pleads with God to take it away. Mm-hmm. And God's response is, no, but my grace is sufficient for you.
Yeah.
And then Paul's answer is, therefore I am content. Not that he is continuing to plead for physical healing, but that he is content in his situation. Yeah. And that's very much like how I feel about my disability. Like, I have points that I have pleaded way more than 3 times. But I have begged, I have pleaded for God to take this away from me. And his answer so far has been no, or at least not right now, mm-hmm. not yet.
I think we often maybe expect in some cases that God's grace would be the removal of something. And I wonder more and more, and I've heard this in different books, of like this idea of like grace being the empowerment to be able to persevere, and how like when he says your grace is sufficient for my weakness, like it's not about the weakness. Like let's stop focusing so much on the weakness and recognizing the empowerment that comes from the Spirit of God in us.
I think about his grace being like his strength when I don't have it. Like,
yeah, such a powerful way to look at it, instead of shaming the weakness, you know, or focusing on the weakness itself, but on the empowerment we have, regardless of whether it's healed or not, you know.
Exactly.
Or I would like to say cured versus healing, because I think we can experience healing without being cured.
That physical healing. And then, I mean, the same Apostle Paul, he talks about how we're persecuted, but not crushed.
Yeah.
Afflicted, struck down, but not abandoned. Like, all of these, like, terrible things, but, like, not driven to despair. Like, and then at the end of that chapter, these afflictions are light and momentary. That passage of scripture has just like been a life raft for me in some of the like darkest moments through the last few years, as my vision began to deteriorate more rapidly in my early 20s. And as I lost my mom, these things that do not feel light and momentary in the moment, mm-hmm. to remind myself that in the grand scheme of things, but when we get to eternity, when we think about the eternal perspective, the pain, the suffering that we're feeling right now, it's going to feel light and momentary compared to the eternal weight of glory that is being prepared for us. And like, I just find so much comfort in that. That is one of the things that helps me be content with how my life is now, even with all of the chronic pain that I have, and knowing that my time on this earth is limited, having a terminal diagnosis, like I know that all of these, the suffering, this pain, it's light, momentary. And then in Philippians 1, this is a passage that I really only recently really came to appreciate. Paul talks about how God will be glorified in his flesh, whether through life or death. And as somebody with a terminal illness, like that line right there that God will be glorified through my flesh, mm-hmm. whether through life or death, mm-hmm. that is just so beautiful to me, yeah. because like I don't have control over that. I mean, none of us do. None of us do.
Yeah.
I am just.
We might think we do.
I am just a lot more aware of that than most 30-year-olds.
That's right.
That well-known verse, like, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But I think I like that earlier verse even better, that, just for Christ to be glorified through my flesh, whether through life or death. That's all I want with my life, whatever time I have left here, to glorify him with all I have. And then when it's my time for my death to be glorified to him. Later on in that chapter, he goes on to say, like, he's torn. He has this conflict because, like, he so wants to leave this life, mm-hmm. and go be with the Father in heaven, but he knows that, like, it's better for the fellow believers if he stays here and continues to serve. And it's like, I feel that so much. And, like, I don't want to rush my death, mm-hmm. and by any means, mm-hmm. but I also, like, I long for heaven every day. I get that struggle so deeply. But I also know that, like, I feel it deep in my bones that, like, God's not done with me here. Mm-hmm. That, like, he still has plans for me. And, like, I know that he's not going to take me home until he's done with me here.
I think that can be such a healing message for the various, you know, disabilities and terminal illnesses that people have when they maybe feel like, well, if I have this terminal illness or I have this disability, I can't glorify God like able-bodied people or people that don't have a terminal illness. And I think that's such a lie from
absolutely
to be like, no, like Paul, I love that passage where Paul says, no, in my death or in my life, either way this goes, we win. God gets the glory and we are his reflection. God's glory shines through our lives. And that can be such an empowerment, again, to be able to live with such value, right? That's the definition of glory.
Exactly.
Of like, man, this intrinsic value of God is being manifested in my body and in my brokenness, which is so powerful. I think sometimes the distortion of our, I would say, you know, simple Christian concepts is that we're not going to suffer. And that's actually not biblical.
Right? Like, I mean, that's sort of the opposite of what the Bible preaches. Like,
right.
I don't know the reference for it, but it was actually one of the passages that I thought about putting on here. Yeah. Was that, like, Jesus directly tells the disciples, yeah, like, in this life,
you will
have trials, but take heart because I have overcome the world. That is such a comforting passage for me because,
yeah, same.
Man, do I have trials in my life.
Yeah.
But God has already overcome them. So, like, I just have to survive them.
Yeah.
Like, God's already done the conquering. Like, I don't have to win this victory. God's already won it. I just have to get through it. Mm-hmm. And
not alone.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah.
I'm reading in Isaiah in my devotions right now. And this passage just really stuck out to me this morning. So, therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you. Therefore, he exalts himself to show both mercy to you. And the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For a people shall dwell in Zion, in Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he answers you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity, the water of affliction, yet the teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear the word behind you, crying, saying, this is the way, walk in it, would you turn to the right or to your left? And that's
beautiful.
And this past week has just been so heavy, and that just hit my heart so heavy this morning. Like, God walks with us through triumph and through adversity, but he is carrying us and guiding our steps through it all. And he hears our cries. He is a merciful and loving God. It does break his heart to see our suffering. Like, that is not what he wants for our children.
This is not his plan.
No.
Right? Like,
absolutely not.
Yeah.
And, like, he does reach out and healing, and he does have a plan for each of us. Those just don't always look the way that we want them to, or the way that we expect them to, because his plans are so much greater,
yeah,
for our lives. And just such a big part of faith is trusting that those plans are greater and being willing to surrender to him and believe that even when he's not giving us the healing that we're asking for, that the healing and the plans that he is offering us are better and are for our good and his glory.
Amen. Well, Beth, thank you so much for all of your insights. I think this is a really important topic that we don't talk about enough in the church context. And so the last piece of this that I really wanted to add to our time together was, what does it look like? What does church inclusion look like? You know, I would love to hear a little bit of your perspective on how can people, able-bodied people, be mindful and aware and also supportive to people with disability and terminal illness?
I mean, I think one of the first things is just recognizing how important it is because people with disabilities are the largest minority in the world. And we're also often like the most unchurched.
Yeah.
So often it's because a lot of us have been hurt by the church or felt like excluded or unwelcomed, unwanted by the church. It's weird, but religious organizations, as long as they don't receive any federal funding, are technically exempt from accessibility laws like the ADA.
Yeah.
Which means that like churches don't have to be physically accessible.
Wow. And that so limits people from coming.
Yeah. And it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Like there are churches that I can't go to because like I can't just get invited to a church event and assume like that I could go. Like I have to,
right.
I have to call the church and be like, can I get, like I'm in a wheelchair. Can I get in your church? As Christians who are supposed to love everybody, like we should be the example of accessibility. Like we should have to be exempt from things like the ADA. Like we should be like the role models for the ADA. Like other like secular organizations should be looking at us for how to make things accessible.
So good.
And it's the exact opposite. And it's so frustrating. That's how we're representing God to the disabled community, as closed off and inaccessible. I have so many disabled friends who, like, that is their gospel message. That is their presentation of Christ, was their, like, one attempt to go to church. And either the building was inaccessible or they got in the door and people were just, you know, these three distortions that we talked about were so present in the church that it just felt so hostile and unwelcome to them that is the presentation of Jesus that they got.
Right.
And it hurt them so deeply that like now they're completely unwilling to even try going back. And there's just so many people within the disability community that have been hurt like that. Yeah. So my first recommendation to the church is just be Jesus, like love, like Jesus, like
accessible.
Yeah, be accessible. When you come in, like imagine, like if you were in a wheelchair or using a walker, like would this be an accessible place? If you were visually impaired, would this be an accessible place? If you have the blessing of having somebody in your congregation with a disability, make them feel welcome.
Yeah.
Don't make them feel awkward for being disabled. And I don't mean like, don't be afraid to ask them about their disability. Like that's way less awkward than just like a staring
ending. Yeah. For dinner, like nothing's
there. Because our disability is part of us.
Well, Beth, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Is there anything else that, just in closing, you could give a word to anybody that's been walking this journey and really having a hard time with the image of God or just like wrestling with their faith? Any just last word of encouragement that you might give to them?
For somebody who is wrestling with it, don't stop. Don't stop wrestling.
Keep wrestling.
Keep wrestling. Keep like,
how?
I spoke at church on Sunday. I was asked to give some advice on praying for healing. If you're praying for healing, keep praying. Like, keep that communication open. Mm-hmm. Try maybe changing how you're praying instead of asking God, take this away. Mm-hmm. Changing it to a prayer of surrender to God. I give this to you to do what you wish with it. When I am, like, really struggling to pray, like, surrender prayer. Mm-hmm. I try to model it after Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, mm-hmm. because like mm-hmm. that's just like my favorite surrender prayer, because like he is there in agony and he like upfront tells the Father what he wants, like, God, take this from me, like, let this cup pass from me. Yeah. If there's any way, let this cup pass from me, but also nevertheless mm-hmm. not my will be done but yours. Let, like, God knows your heart. Don't hide your heart from God. Like, if you desire that physical healing, like, pour that out to him. But also, let him know that, like, your will be done. Yeah. And while you're in this season, like, while you're carrying this, ask him to show you how he can show up and glorify himself through it. because he's not a vindictive God. He is loving and merciful, and he's not letting you walk through this season just to suffer. He's doing it because there is a purpose, and it's for your good and his glory. So ask him to show you why and how.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Beth. It's really been fun.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Therapy and Theology. If you have a question or topic you would like discussed on a future episode, please feel free to email me or drop it in the comments. Also, don't forget to subscribe to have each week's episode instantly downloaded to your podcasts, and see the show notes for resources mentioned in this episode. To access more content and join my monthly email list for the latest updates and info, visit my website at carlymarkluyer.com.
Have you ever attempted to read the entire Bible? Did you do it, or did you only make it part way? I'm John Stonge, and I host a podcast that will make it possible for you to make it through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. I've been hosting the Chapter a Day audio Bible podcast since 2015, and every single day of the week, I read one chapter of Scripture, then follow that up with a time of prayer. And if you're looking for daily insights and inspiration directly from God's Word, I hope you'll give the Chapter a Day audio Bible a listen. You can find it at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.